Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. My name is Nicholas. My website is crosstheborder.org. Please stop by there. Send me an email. Let me know what you think of the program. Let me know you're listening. Take advantage of the resources there. We have studies available, recent studies available there. You can listen at no cost. Do take advantage of it. Like I said, if anyone wants to challenge me anytime, I guess there's not a whole lot of challenging going on with the Book of Proverbs, but on the other studies, if perhaps you listen to them, and because I do get into some controversial things, Proverbs, a little different than, say, the prophetic books or even Genesis, and some of the interpretations in that, and the law, of course, Proverbs is like, you know, it's like a drink of fresh water, because the wisdom is so refreshing. So I hope that you're drinking as deep as I am, and that you're being refreshed and learning something by going through the Book of Proverbs. If you want to be wise, well, then Proverbs is the book for you. Read it over and over. I suggest wearing those pages out in the book until you begin to understand what they mean, or you get a good understanding of what they mean. They can never get too much good understanding. Never can have too much wisdom. So we continue here in Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. You know, it's like we just talked about a minute ago, that the slothful man who does not want to pursue the truth, the one who's simple-minded, he watches the news on the TV, and he believes what the talking heads say. And then when he hears someone out there crying, "Make me the mouth of the beast," and he says that change you can believe in, well, he believes in it because he believes it's all a good thing, because the how smooth-talking the man is, or the other ones that are vying for that same position, you know, making the promises that they make while ignoring all of the things and all of the whispers that are being ignored by those in the mainstream and those with the loudest voices, not searching out and seeing what the truth is. They don't see the evil coming. They don't see trouble coming. So they don't hide themselves. They think everything is going to go on as it always has been. But a prudent man foresees the evil, because he loves the truth. So he searches everything out. He wants to know the truth of the matter. If there's an allegation, and the allegation is that things are not what they seem, that men in the mainstream and the corporate media are lying to you, you search out that allegation. You want to know if it's true or not. If they say there's a faction in a shadow government behind the government that is orchestrating these things, you know, creating false flag operations so that they can falsely raise the flag and incite everyone's patriotism so that they can get away with whatever is in their agenda, be it billions of dollars to put a pipeline through Afghanistan or restore the poppy trades over there. So they raise a false flag to get in there. They have their reasons. And if you search the truth, these are the things you find out, that things are not as they seem. Don't be a sluggard. We need to foresee the evil. But those that are a sluggard and say, no, it isn't so, and because Dan Rather said so, and, you know, the other talking heads on the TV, and they wouldn't lie to me, and certainly the government wouldn't lie to me, would they? It isn't so. Well, they'll never foresee the evil coming. They won't be prepared in the day. A prudent man foresees the evil and hideth himself. Yes, he prepares himself. He makes himself ready, and there the word hideth himself means to, he conceals himself from the trouble. He's prepared for it, in other words. It says, but the simple, and those that are simple, they just believe everything they're told. They pass on, and they're punished by the evil they didn't see coming, because they're not prepared for it when it gets there. And they didn't hide themselves, but they got punished by it. And they're the ones that are going to be crying out to the government, oh, great government, where are you when we need you? You know, crying out to the government to take care of them, going like subjects, like slaves. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. You know, I see here that they copy the Proverbs of Solomon starting at chapter 25, and I see that a lot of these are just exactly word for word some of the things that where it went before. So what do I get out of that? Well, since our Heavenly Father, he is really the author of this book, well, these are important things that, you know, that need to be repeated, that bear repeating. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger, and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. And I also see what our good friend Henry has to say about this. He doesn't have too many words to say about this, so let's see what he has. This also we had before. He refers to Proverbs 20:16. It shows who those are that are hastening to poverty, those that have so little consideration as to be bound for everybody that will ask them, and those that are given to women. Such as these will take up money as far as ever their credit will go, but they will certainly cheat their creditors at last. Nay, they are cheating them all along. An honest man may be made a beggar, but he is not honest that makes himself one. But he is not honest that makes himself one. Let me repeat that. An honest man may be made a beggar, but he is not honest that makes himself one. It advises us to be so discreet in ordering our affairs as not to lend money to those who are manifestly wasting their estates unless they give very good security for it. Foolish lending is injustice to our families. He does not say, get another to be bound with him, for he that makes himself a common voucher will have those to be his security who are as insolvent as himself. Therefore, take his garment. He that blesseth his friend with a loud voice, rising in the early in the morning, it shall be counted as a curse to him. A continual dripping or dropping is like a very rainy day, and a continual dripping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. Whosoever hideth her hideth the wind, and the ointment of his right hand, which betrayeth itself. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he waiteth on his master shall be honored. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. I only have one master to wait on myself. And that is my Messiah. He is my master. So whoso keepeth the fig tree shall eat the fruit thereof. So he that waiteth on his master shall be honored. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man to man. Okay, I'm not sure I get that one. And looks like our good friend Henry has much to say about so few words. As in water, face answereth the face, so the heart of man to man. Okay, perhaps he's talking about the reflection. This shows us that there's a way of knowing ourselves. As the water is a looking glass in which we may see our faces by reflection, so there are mirrors by which the heart of a man is discovered to a man, that is, to himself. Let a man examine his own conscience, his thoughts, affections, and intentions. Let him behold his natural face in the glass of the divine law, and he may discern what kind of man he is, and what is his true character, which it will be of great use to every man rightly to know, of knowing one another by ourselves. For as there is similitude between the face of a man and the reflection of it in the water, so there is between one man's heart and another's, for God has fashioned men's hearts alike, and in many cases we may judge of others by ourselves, which is one of the foundations of which that rule is built, of doing to others as we would be be done by. No one thing is so like another as man is to man. No person is so like himself as each person is to all besides. One corrupt heart is like another, and so is one sanctified heart. For the former bears the same image of the earthly, the latter the same image of the heavenly. As in water, face answers to face, so the heart of man to man. Hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. As the refining pot for silver and the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. Interesting. I don't know if that's a typo there, but it has two twice. As the refining pot for silver, the furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. I guess I get it. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in a mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. It's a little archaic. I think I'm going to have to turn again to my friend Henry here. We have time. It looks like we'll finish up Proverbs next time. And as we get toward the end, we get towards some of my favorite parts. And perhaps to some that are a little bit controversy, especially as we move on to Proverbs chapter 31. So I know if you stuck with me through this, through Proverbs this far, I know you'll want to stick with me through to the end. So let's see what Henry has to say about verse 22 of chapter 27. Solomon had said, "The foolishness which is bound up in the heart of a child may be driven out by the rod of correction, for then the mind is to be molded, the vicious habits not having taken root." But here he shows that if it be not done then, it will be next to impossible to do it afterwards. But here he shows, okay, if the desires be inveterate, there's a danger of it being incurable. Can the Ethiopian change his skin? Because the Ethiopian is the black man, referring to the black man. Can he change his skin? Can he make it white? Observe. Some are so bad that rough and severe methods must be used with them. After gentle means have been tried in vain, they must be brayed in with mortar. I'm not certain. I'm not familiar with a mortar. I'm familiar with a mortar and pestle. So I guess being brayed in means being ground, as you would wheat with a mortar and pestle. God will take this way with them by his judgments. Ah, I see. That's kind of like the saying, you know, either you fall on the rock or the rock falls on you. You fall on the rock and it breaks you into pieces, or the rock falls on you and grinds you to powder. I guess that's pretty much the same illustration here that Yahshua Jesus gave us when he talked about falling on the rock, lest the rock falls on you. And that's what I'm going to take away from this. Though thou shouldest bray a fool in mortar among wheat with a pestle, yet will not his foolishness depart from him. Be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks, and look well to thy herds. So whatever your livelihood, whatever it is that your hand is found to do, whatever the work that has been set before you for your life to provide, you're to be diligent. For riches are not forever, and doth the crown endure to every generation. The hay appeareth, and the tender grass showeth itself, and herbs of the mountain are gathered. The lambs are for thy clothing, and the goats are the price of the field. And thou shalt have goat's milk enough for thy food, for the food of thy household, and for the maintenance of thy maidens. So be thou diligent to know the state of thy flocks. There you go. And I guess we got enough time. We're going to jump into chapter 28 and verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. For the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof, but by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. And there again, we see the tale of our times. For the transgression of the land, many are the princes thereof. And when you have many princes, that means you have that the people are in much more bondage to support the princes. And I believe we could liken this to the day we live in easily when we see that most of the, probably more than 50% of the people in some form, indirectly or directly, work for the government. And which means they produce absolutely nothing, except for perhaps the few that build roads and things like that. But certainly they get paid. That should be covered in the road taxes, the gas taxes. But you have a lot of men, a lot of people out there working for the government, and here the word is princes. For the transgressions of the land, many are the princes thereof. And why do we need all these princes? Why do we need all these rulers in our land? Well, it's because of the transgressions. The more people transgress, the more the government has to step up, and because you remember that the civil government was put here by our Father, our Creator, to punish evildoers. And the more evil, well, the more they have to raise up princes to punish evildoers. The problem with that is that they start casting the net far and wide, and everybody gets snared in it, whether they're an evildoer or not. And then you have transgressors for princes, and they start licensing evil. And, well, we've digressed into the state of the nation that we're in. I'd like to hear that in the president's speech one of these days. They do the state of the nation. Why don't he get up there and speak the truth for once? All he'd have to do is read this verse. For the transgression of the land, many are the government workers thereof. Put it in a more contemporary vernacular there. But by a man of understanding and knowledge, the state thereof shall be prolonged. A poor man that oppresses the poor is like a sweeping rain which leaveth no food. A poor man that oppresses the poor. They that forsake the law praise the wicked. Well, that goes to the state of the nation too, doesn't it? Because we see a lot of praising of the wicked done, don't we? But a righteous man opens his mouth and he's called nasty names like a prude, or perhaps he might be labeled as a bigot or someone who uses hate speech. Hate speech, that's the new catchword for those that expound on the law of our Heavenly Father and point at the wickedness of evil men. Evil men understand not judgment, but they that seek Yahuwah, the Lord, understand all things. They understand all things. Seek Him. You want to understand all things? Seek our Creator. Seek our Heavenly Father. There it is. But they that seek Him understand all things. Better is the poor that walketh in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son, but he that is a companion of riotous men shameth his father. There you go. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. Want to be a wise son? Are you a son of God? How do you know? How do we know that we are the sons of God? Because we want to please our Father. And He told us in His Word what pleases Him. He gave us commandments, statutes, He gave us judgments. And all of these things reveal His character to us. When He said, "Thou shalt not steal," He told us something about Himself. "Thou shalt not covet." It tells us about His character. "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." It's who He is. It tells us who He is. It tells us what pleases Him. Whoso keepeth the law is a wise son. Verse 8, chapter 28. He that by usury and unjust gain increaseth his substance, he shall gather it in for him that will pity the poor. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. So when you go into one of these corporate churches and they teach you that the law was nailed to the cross, they turn their ear away from the hearing of the law. And then they have these beautiful prayers in public. They get up before the congregation and they pray. But it says his prayer is an abomination. Whoso causeth the righteous to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit. but the upright shall have good things in possession. The rich man is wise in his own conceit, but the poor that hath understanding searcheth him out. When righteous men do rejoice, there is great glory, but when the wicked rise, a man is hidden. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And that's repentance defined. You confess your sins to our Heavenly Father, and you forsake them because you allow His law and His commandments to be written on your heart and in your mind. Happy is the man that feareth always, and that is the fear of our Heavenly Father, the fear of God. Happy is the man that feareth always. He have a right fear. But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief.